Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are a people set apart unto you, a people you have called forth from out of darkness into the realities, O God, that unveil in the mount of the Lord. We are a chosen people. And today, as we open the subject of baptism, Father, we pray that you will open our hearts to understand why we need to be baptized. Bring into us an understanding that baptism is not a historical event, Father. It is an abiding reality, Lord. And the purpose of baptism is so that we will always understand that we are immersed in the voice of your word. We are immersed in your waters of life. We are immersed, O God, in the realities of who you are and all that you are. We are immersed, O God, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are immersed into Christ. We are immersed, O God, into his death. And we come forth, O God, in increasing realities of the fullness of Jesus Christ as a new creation in resurrection power. That as we understand this reality of being immersed in you, Father, we will also understand the realization of what you bring forth in us through the waters of life. So bless each one of us with an understanding of this crucial subject, Father, so that we will never forget, O God, that in baptism we have truly covenanted to belong to you. In baptism we have truly covenanted to be instruments, O God, of your grace, Father. Instruments shaped for your glory, Father. So bless each one of us with the understanding of baptism. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Baptism. Baptism is basically immersion in water. What does that symbolize? Water in the Bible represents the voice of God. Water in the Bible represents the witness of God. Water in the Bible represents the river of life. Water in the Bible represents cleansing, renewal, regeneration. Water in the Bible is a reality of all that God has as an abundance for us to draw from. So as it is a river of life, you draw wells of living water from within your heart, and those wells of living water ultimately flow forth from you as rivers of living water. But for that reality to be fulfilled, we must be immersed in the voice of the Lord. We must be immersed in that witness of God. Why are we baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Very simple, because the voice of God originates from his name. And God is a triune reality in the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And we are immersed in that triune reality in the name of Jesus. We are immersed in that triune reality of the witness of God, so that we will understand that this new life that God is talking about will unveil as we understand that we must be immersed in the reality of God so as to realize the living springs of water within us, so as to unveil functionally the river of life from within us, or rivers of living water from within us. So that basically is why we are baptized in water. That's basically why the Bible says we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That also tells us why later on in the book of Acts, Peter says, you are baptized in the name of Jesus. Right? So actually it is a complex reality. You are baptized in the witness of God, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you are baptized in the name of Jesus. So that the fullness of what God has given you in Christ Jesus will bring come forth in your life. We are running ahead of our subject, but let's start with what this idea of baptism is all about. The idea of baptism is covenant, all right? It is covenant. All right, let's turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 19. Book of Exodus, chapter 19. From verse 3. God has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he brings them into the mount in the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, verse 2, Exodus chapter 19, verse 2. When they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, and there Israel camped in front of the mountain. The mountain obviously was Mount Sinai. Verse 3, and Moses went up to God. And the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So each one of us has also been brought forth on eagle's wings. Eagle's wings are wings of the Spirit. All right. how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So each one of us who is born again has been brought to the realization of who God is and all that God is. Now, one of the fundamental things that I personally believe in is that you can only appreciate baptism if you are born again. You can only appreciate the idea of belonging to God, which is what we are going to talk about very shortly, if you have been born again. It is not a religious appreciation. It is not an intellectual appreciation. It is a realization of something deep inside of your heart. So verse 5, "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel." Right? Notice that God is speaking words. And in those words, He is communicating a reality. Now we are baptized into water. Water represents the word of God. Water represents the voice of God. Water represents the witness of God. Water represents the abundance of God. Right? And we are immersed into that. And what is God doing with Moses? He is expressing words that Moses then brings to the children of Israel. And what is God telling these people? Right? You have seen what I have done for you. Right? And every person who is born again has seen what God has done for them. He's opened their hearts to them. Opened their hearts to Him. Alright? So now He is saying, "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant." Right? He's asking whether you are willing to commit to Him. Alright? Now when we say this, that you are going to commit to God, you must understand that commitment to God can only be fulfilled as you receive and realize His grace. Right? So as we talk about baptism and we talk about God asking you to commit to Him, you must understand in the same token that you can only commit to God if God enables that commitment to come alive to you. No human being can commit to God in their own strength. So this is one of the lessons we learned. God talks to them under the law. He talks to them under the law and He asks them to belong to Him. And as we look at the history of Israel, we find that they could not do it. Are you with me? They could not do it. So we are going to enter into this reality that they talked about, but we are going to enter into this reality in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. We are going to depend on Jesus Christ. His faith and His love being manifested in us, His Spirit and His life being brought into us to enable us to truly progress so as to actually belong to God. So as we read this, you must understand what we are reading from a New Testament perspective. You must understand it in terms of what Jesus has given you, what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. Don't look at it from the perspective of the law. All right? So listen to these words and understand that as God says, "Will you obey me? Will you belong to me? Will you keep my covenant?" These are all things that God will do with you, provided you are willing to set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Correct? Amen? So verse 5, now then, if you will indeed obey my voice. What is our nature? Our nature is disobedience. Right? So you must understand, if you will indeed obey my voice, that is something that you have to receive and realize in God. Right? Which is why in baptism you are immersed into the voice of God. You are immersed in Christ Jesus into His death. Because in His death, Jesus Christ released to you the faith and love that will enable you one day to truly obey God. Amen? So you need to understand that. How will that come about? As you set your hope on Jesus Christ in the reality of being immersed in the abundant voice of God. And as long as you are prepared to do that, God will bring forth the impossible to you. All right? So if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. Now that covenant we know has to be written into our hearts. And that covenant is going to be written into your heart by the finger of God. All right? So that too is the work of God. "Then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine." All right. If you obey God, if you're willing to belong to God, right? Then you will be God's possession. So what does the Lord then express? How you are going to be unto Him. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Right? The New Testament tells you that you are the temple of God. You are the tabernacle of God. And within this temple and tabernacle, you operate a priesthood. So all of us are priests, whether we are male or female. Because your body is the temple of God. And you operate that priesthood in the context of your being a temple unto God. So, but then, when we unveil as a priesthood, we also unveil as a nation. So God is talking not of us as just as mere individuals. He's also talking to us as a nation, right? A nation that the new covenant calls the body of Christ. Alright? So we come with many different colors, from many different backgrounds, from many different social positions. But when we come into the kingdom of God and we covenant to become a priesthood, God makes us and molds us into one body. We become citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And we become a people that God has chosen to bless. So, right off the bat, you are born again. Now God is asking you the question, do you really want to belong to me? Do you really want to obey me? Do you want my covenant to be established in your life? Do you want to be a priest unto me? Do you want to be a temple unto me? Right? Do you want to be my dwelling place? Right? And that's what God is asking you as you go into this reality of being baptized. You're going to be baptized into the realities of God's word that you're going to continue to hear forever and ever and ever and ever. You're going to be immersed into that reality and you're going to realize that reality. So it is not just a static thing. It's not just a religious ceremony that we are going through when we get baptized. We are entering into a dynamic reality. And this dynamic reality is going to be built into your life and brought out of your life and your ministry forever and ever. The Bible talks of one baptism in two parts. Baptism in water, baptism by the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit. All right? Baptism in water is something you enter into, right? Based on your convictions in the Lord Jesus Christ. But to make those convictions work, to make them functional realities in your life, you also have to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And when you are baptized by the Holy Spirit, the water in which you are immersed to becomes springs of living, becomes rivers of living water inside of you. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. So the reality of just being put into water no longer is something that is a static reality. Now it becomes a dynamic reality by the Holy Spirit. So in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you become a people who are able to function in the waters of life. You're able to function in the abundant waters of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? The abundant waters of the voice of the Word. Alright? So let's look at a few scriptures and you will begin to understand this. Alright? So let's first look at the voice of God being abundant waters. Alright? Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 24. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 24. Verse 24 of Ezekiel chapter 1. I also heard the sound of their wings like the sound of abundant waters as they went like the voice of the Almighty. Amen. So what does that tell you in water baptism? That you are being immersed into the voice of the Almighty. All right? And the voice of the Almighty is abundant waters. And abundant waters means waters of life, pregnant with life. New life. New aspects of life, giftings, anointings, blessings, right? Responsibilities, right? But there is an abundance, right? There is an abundance, right? And this abundance of the waters of life are given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, are made personal to all of us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 15. Revelation chapter 1 verse 15. the last part of it, of verse 15. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. Now you see that the sound of many waters, the sound of abundant waters, is made personal to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has opened the way to you. He has opened to you the reality of the voice of God. You are being invited in water baptism to take hold of the fact that the waters of life, the abundant waters of life that God has given you in His voice, is meant for you to receive and realize in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is your right. But rights also have obligations and responsibilities. You got to understand that. All right? Let's look at a verse. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right. Another translation of that word right would be authority. He gave the right or the authority to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. All right? So, in water baptism, God is asking you to take hold of what He is willing to open to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. What He is willing to open to you in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And so God is symbolizing what He has given you in terms of water. Right? What you need to understand is that water represents the voice of God, and the voice of God is infinite. Right? And in water baptism, you are entering into the reality of the voice of God. And what God is telling you immediately is that within the temple of your being, He is going to manifest the witness, okay, that He has ordained for your life. And as you choose to see yourself immersed in the voice of God, you are going to unveil as an instrument of the Lord that God is going to use uniquely. He's going to bless you. He's going to fashion you. He's going to form you. You're going to be a priest. You're going to be part of a nation that belongs to Him. You're going to be enabled to obey Him. You're going to be enabled to be in covenant with Him because of what Jesus has done for you. All right? Can you see that? And this is what you are saying, I accept. Now you are entering into the waters of baptism based on your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, based on what He has done for you, based on what God your Father has given you in Jesus Christ, based on what God is going to do with you through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All right? That's why when you are baptized in water, you are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because for this baptism to work, you need God. You need to understand God as your Father. You need to unveil God in the reality of the Son who came to you to manifest all that He has for you. You have to unveil in the reality of the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, because all this is not going to be achieved in your flesh. That means you are not going to achieve the realities of your water baptism in your own fleshly zeal or your fleshly actions. You need God to make it happen. Right? So God tells the children of Israel, we just read the passage in Exodus, will you obey me? Will you hear my voice? Will you obey me? Will you be a people in covenant with me? Will you keep my covenant? Now for all those three things to take place, God has to make it happen in your life. Alright? He's got to save you. Right? He's got to manifest the realities of His salvation into you to enable you to obey Him. He's got to manifest the realities of His salvation into you to enable you to hear Him. He's got to manifest the realities of His salvation into you for you to become a people in covenant with God. It cannot happen out of the zeal of man. So God gave you a right. And you are accepting that right to become sons of God by being immersed in water baptism. What are you saying? I will immerse myself in the voice of your word. And I will in that reality arise as a new creation. I understand that I am being immersed in the voice of your word, in the fact that God is my God, in the fact that I am being immersed into this reality in His name, that God will be my Father, that God will be my Savior, the Son who brought new life to me, that God will always be the Holy Spirit who is my helper, my comforter. And because of who God is, this baptism that I'm entering into will be fulfilled in my life. I put my faith in God to bring that forth. Right? So when you enter into the waters of baptism, fundamentally you are trusting in God for something you can't do in yourself. Hello. You are trusting in God to unfold something that you yourself will never be able to do in your own strength. Alright? So in baptism, you are being open to a unique reality in God. You agree to do something in God, but you agree to do it by God and through God, by all that God brings into you. So you are covenanting to realize from God the ability to see this baptism being fulfilled in your life. Are you listening? Amen? Alright? So that's why you can go into it bravely, right? Because the demands of baptism are, by the way, perfection. All right? So let's look at some passages on that, all right? Before we start, let's look at Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18, 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, 19 and 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But the purpose is to make them disciples. Alright? So, to be a disciple is to be in covenant with God. To be a vessel of the Lord. To be someone that God can use for His purposes. To be an instrument of the Lord your God. Right? To be a disciple, you have to be a priest. To be a disciple, you have to understand that your body is the temple of God. Are you with me? And in order for that to happen, you must be immersed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? You have to put your trust in God to bring forth what you would otherwise be unable to do in yourself. Right? Why do we say that? Because we have already seen the history of the Jewish nation. Correct? That's why David in Psalm 54 verse 1 says, "Save me, O God, by thy name. Vindicate me by thy power." Because I cannot be what you want me to be in my own strength. So, Father, save me by your own name and vindicate me by your power. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. You know that verse in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3? That Jesus Christ upholds all things by the rhema of his power. Rhema means the word of God, right? The quickened word of God. The word of God that is living water to you. Right? It is the inspired word of God. It is the voice of God being manifested to you. It is the witness of God being brought alive to you. And he says that Jesus Christ upholds all things by the rhema of his power. Now we just read a verse from Revelation that the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ is many waters. That's the rhema. Alright? And he upholds all things by the rhema of his power. Which means to say, by the fact that you immerse yourself into the waters of life, right? You are doing that in the understanding that those waters of life are pregnant with the power that will enable you to become all that God wants you to be. Amen. You are born again as a Christian. You are a unique vessel of God. God has a purpose for your life in all eternity. It is your responsibility to become such a vessel of God. It is your responsibility to take hold of God's blessings. It is your responsibility to unveil as a priest of God. It is your responsibility to be blessed. It is your responsibility to be a blessing. It is your responsibility to be anointed. It is your responsibility to understand what are the giftings God has for you. You listening? Right? This is not responsibility by law. This is responsibility by grace. And the more grace you have, the more responsibility you can hold. Right? Baptism is a reality of grace upon grace. And as you receive the voice of God, you will begin to understand how great is the grace that is being given to you. 100 years from today, our understanding of grace will be far greater than what we appreciate right now. 1,000,000 years from today, it will be infinitely greater. Because everything that we have realized in our life will be an expression of God's grace unveiled in our lives. What has happened? The voice of God has become a reality to us. It is not just being immersed into the voice of God, it is realizing what the voice of God is saying. And as you realize what the voice of God says, you become the vessel that God has made you become. God wants you to become. Can you catch that? Right? So what is God doing? He puts you in water, right? And He's asking for that water to become life inside of you. Jesus depicts that in John chapter 4 very uniquely, right? Let's look at that. John chapter 4. Verse 13 and 14. Let's read verse 10 first. Jesus answered and said to her, this is the Samaritan woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Verse 13 and 14, Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. And whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become to him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Now where is that well of water? It comes alive within you. So we're talking here about spiritual realities. You are immersed in water, but the ultimate reality of this water in which you are immersed in is for this water to become a well of living water springing up to eternal life. So the first basic idea in water is that it is the water of life. And it is the water of eternal life, that you will live forever. Are you listening? So the voice of God is a witness of eternal life. Are you with me? So when you are born again, you are made alive to God. Now God says, do you understand that I want you to be in covenant with me by covenanting to belong to me? So that I can make you the vessel that you want me to be. Are you with me? Right. Jesus was also baptized. Why was he baptized? Let's look at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. Right? And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And behold, a voice of the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. So in your water baptism, you are covenanting to become a son unto God, a vessel of the Lord. He noticed Jesus said, this has to be done for all righteousness to be fulfilled. Whose righteousness is he talking about? He's talking about the righteousness of God. You see, in baptism, God is telling you, it is his righteousness that is going to make you all that he wants you to become. Listening? Right? What are the demands? You must obey me. Right? You must keep my covenant. You must hear my voice. For that to be fulfilled in us, we know that the righteousness of man will never accomplish that. The history of Israel has already shown that. So we need a higher level of righteousness. Jesus enters prophetically into what he will bring forth in fulfillment. Right? And he says, the purpose in which John is baptizing him is so that all righteousness will be fulfilled. Right? All righteousness will be fulfilled. Now, he is going to be the vessel by which that righteousness of God is going to be manifested. It is going to be through his death and his sacrifice that the faith and love, right, that he gave us through his death will be made manifest to us. Right? So he says, I am going into this, right, prophetically, right? This is the, I need to do this because this baptism is going to be fulfilled in my name. This baptism is going to be fulfilled by what I give you. All right? So Paul picks on this, and this is why he says what he says in Romans chapter 6. Let's turn to that. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? What is Paul writing here? That we are baptized into Christ Jesus. Why into Christ Jesus? Because the abundant waters of life are given to us in Christ Jesus. They are part and parcel of his testimony. Right? So we are baptized into that reality, right? So you're baptized into Christ Jesus, and after that, what does he say? And into his death, right? And into his death, right? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Now, why are we baptized into his death? Because in his death, he gave you something. He gave you his faith and his love for you. He gave you his forgiveness, right? It is only through his death that he testified to the fact that I am your salvation, that through me you will live, right? So you are baptized into Christ Jesus and into his death. Why into his death? Because in his death he gave you a faith that you don't have. In his death he gave you a forgiveness that you don't have. In his death he gave you, right, a love that you don't have. Amen. So in the faith and love of Jesus, in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, as we are immersed into Christ Jesus, we realize the realities of the voice of God. Are you with me? The voice of God has its demands. God says, I want you to obey me. I want you to hear me. I want you to be in covenant with me. The faith and love of Jesus makes that possible for each and every one of us. Are you with me? Now, some of us have got a lot of weaknesses, isn't it? Some of us have got a lot of hurts, right? We need healing. We need a new faith and a love that will heal us, set us free, and enable us to become the instruments that God wants us to become. Amen? So baptism is a reality of grace into which we are to be immersed. Amen? So God has the reality of the voice of his word for you. So that you will, in his testimony, the testimony of Jesus given to you, be able to rise in the righteousness of God. Now, what is the righteousness of God? The faith and love of Jesus. Amen? And so you will become the instrument that God wants you to be. Do you understand this? Do you also realize that if you don't understand this, right? Right? It is something that God is going to bring into your life over time. As you keep understanding that you are immersed in this voice of his word forever. Listening? And this is what is going to make you the instrument God wants you to be. All right, let's carry on. You will get this understanding as we go on. All right? Verse 4, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death. Right? In order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. What is happening here? Right? He says you must be buried with Christ. Right? Buried into what? Buried into his death. What does his death tell you? His death tells you that he died for you. What does his death tell you? His death tells you that he came back from the dead. How did he come back from the dead? He came back from the dead because God manifested into Jesus Christ something called resurrection power. Right? Resurrection power, dunamis power. Right? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Jesus Christ upholds all things by the rhema word of his power. The Greek word for power there is dunamis. And the word dunamis relates to resurrection power. Where is that resurrection power? It is in the rhema of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the rhema of the Lord Jesus Christ? Abundant waters. Correct? Right? So by going into water, you are saying, I will be buried in Christ. Buried into his death. Right? So that I will receive and realize the faith and love that will enable resurrection power to make me arise in a new creation. So when you come out of the water, you are declaring, I am a new creation. Based on what? Based on what God's word is telling you. Based on what you have heard from the voice of God. Amen. Makes sense? Right? Based on what you have heard from the voice of God. So let's carry on. Right? So he says, therefore we have been, verse 4, therefore we have been buried, Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death. Right? In order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. So in baptism, God is covenanting on his part to manifest the glory of the Father in your life. All right? Verse 5, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also in the likeness of his, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. What happened when Jesus rose from the dead? He had a new body, he had a body manifested with resurrection power, and he had new functions that he never had in his natural body, right? He came back from the dead and he could actually manifest himself, right? In the middle of a room that had all its doors shut. Right? Yet, with that physical body, he could eat fish. Right? Are you listening? Right? He had a new reality. He could manifest in the spirit and he could manifest in the natural. Had a newness of life. So in that likeness, God is showing you something pictorially. There's much more to all of this than meets the eye. There's much more to this than we understand right now. Right? One day as we have a new body in the Lord Jesus Christ, one day as we have, right, a newness of life in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will begin to understand the whole awesome reality of the power that God has given us in Christ Jesus. But you need to understand something, right? That you need to be buried with Christ. You have to understand that you have to die to your old self. And you have to arise to the new self that God has for you. Amen. Are you with me? You have to die to your old self and you have to arise to your new self, and your new self is in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why as you grow as a Christian, you change. Your character changes, your nature changes, your thinking changes, your likes change, your dislikes change, right? Your personality changes, right? Everything starts changing as you put on Christ, right? What is happening? As you begin to receive the voice of God's word inside of you, it brings inside of you a creative change. You are becoming a new person. You are becoming a person in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are realizing the nature of Jesus Christ, and many things that you said you had to do and you loved so much in the world start dying, and you begin to realize new things in Christ Jesus. So in baptism, God is telling you the power that he means to manifest inside of you in Jesus' name, in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Right? So all of this reality of being immersed into the waters of life is in the understanding that as I am buried with Christ, I will rise with Him as a new creation. God will achieve this. How will God achieve this? Through the voice of His Word. Why through the voice of His Word? Because the voice of His Word is creative, right? In the beginning when God created, He used the voice of His Word to create. Let there be light, and there was light. Right? God spoke things into being. And God means to also speak things into you, so that you will unfold as the being God wants you to become. Right? So He's telling you how this is going to happen. This is going to happen as you immerse yourself into the voice of His Word. Amen? But what is the voice of His Word telling you? That you are going to die to yourself and I'm going to bring you forth as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:10 says that you are the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus for good works. Amen? For those good works to manifest, this word good must be manifested inside of you. Now who defines this word good? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So you are created in Christ Jesus and manifested as a new creation. Right? The power that is manifested is resurrection power. And that power will enable you to become a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ. So baptism is entirely prophetic, guys. It is not a historical event. In fact, as you grow as a Christian, the reality that you are a baptized Christian becomes more and more relevant to you, more and more important to you, a bigger and bigger realization of God's grace. Hello. I was baptized somewhere in April 1989. Today, baptism means to me far more than it did on that day. On that day before I went into the waters of baptism, God gave me the passage of scripture in which He described the calling on my life. When I went into the waters of baptism, I didn't even understand what waters of baptism were all about. All I knew was God telling me, you must be baptized. Now, as someone who came with a traditional church background, I was baptized as an infant. But when I was born again, I began to realize that I needed to belong to God. I needed to commit myself to God in a new way. And so I decided on my own that I should go and get baptized. At that time, I didn't know anyone who would baptize me. So I rang up someone in Singapore and I got baptized in Singapore by a pastor from the Assemblies of God Church. Right? I just needed to be baptized. I had that conviction that I needed to be baptized. And so I went through the waters of baptism. Now the reason why I did that was simply because, right, I began to understand that baptism was covenanting to belong to God, and I wanted to do that in my own free will. You can't do that as an infant, right? You can't do that because your parents thought that you should become a Christian, right? Ultimately, you can only become a Christian if you choose to become one, right? And to choose to become a Christian, you have to be baptized. Spiritually speaking, that's when you choose to be a Christian. Right? In choosing to be a Christian, you are choosing to realize God's will for your life. How is God's will for your life going to come to you? Only if you are immersed into Christ Jesus. Only if you are immersed into His death. Only if you realize His faith and His love, into which God has invested resurrection power. So how are you ever going to be a Christian? Very simply, only if you are immersed into Christ Jesus, only if you are immersed into His death. What does it mean to be immersed into Christ Jesus? Being immersed into His testimony, all that He has done for you. What does it mean to be immersed into His death? To be immersed into the faith and love of Jesus for you that He gave you through His death. And to understand that when you rise out of water, you are rising out in the fullness of Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit to be a new creation. And that's going to be made possible because of resurrection power invested in the voice of the Lord for you. That resurrection power only comes to you as you hear the voice of the Lord. Amen. So as you continue to grow as a Christian, listening and hearing the voice of the Lord, accepting and understanding the Word of God, receiving the word of God in a good heart, persevering with the word of God in that good and honest heart, God will bring the changes that will make you a perfect vessel. So remember the demands of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5 verse 48. You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. How is that going to happen? Only if you are immersed into Christ Jesus. Only if you are immersed into His death. Only if you realize His resurrection power as you give heed to the voice of His word. Amen. So baptism is acknowledging that whole process of God's salvation, how it will really work in your life. Praise the Lord. And salvation is the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God brought into your life. Which is why when Jesus entered into the waters of baptism, He said, I'm doing this so that all righteousness will be fulfilled. So when He was baptized by John, He was baptized under the reality of the law. Amen. When He rose from the dead, right? He rose from the dead. There came to us a reality of baptism that was now open to us in the fulfillment of the law. So when we enter into the waters of baptism, we are not entering into it by the law. We are entering it into the reality of the fulfillment of the law. And the fulfillment of the law is achieved through the faith and love of Jesus. The fulfillment of the law is achieved, right? Through Christ Jesus. So all things are possible for all of us. No matter how many flaws you have, no matter how many hang-ups you have, right? If you can't pray, God is saying through Jesus Christ, you will pray. Not you may pray, you will pray. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen? And when you actually realize that reality of being able to pray by Christ Jesus, you have realized something of your baptism. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay. So, there is an awesome potential in being baptized. Alright? So, let's carry on from chapter 6. Let's go down. Verse 6. Knowing that this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we might no longer be slaves to sin. Right? That we might no longer be slaves to sin. To understand this, verse 6, you have to turn to Colossians chapter 2. Verses 11 and 12. Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. You see, baptism is a reality in which you come forth through the faith that you have in what God is working into you. But what does being crucified with Christ really mean? How was Christ circumcised? The circumcision of Jesus Christ was completed as He chose to obey God through His death. And you are being circumcised with the circumcision done without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Jesus Christ. So, that's a complex reality to understand. But what it says is that there is a process, a spiritual process in which your fleshly desires will be removed from you. Amen. And that too is part and parcel of your baptism. God works the circumcision into you. And as that circumcision is worked into your heart, your fleshly nature is worked out of you, and a newness of life is brought alive inside of you. It's a supernatural process. We have to depend on God for it. So if you look at Romans chapter 2 verse 29, it says that the Holy Spirit circumcises your heart. That the Holy Spirit circumcises your heart. He circumcises your heart in the circumcision of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a mystery. It's one of those strange things that God has enabled through your salvation. We can't understand what that fully means, but we can experience the changes in life as God changes our character. And all of us sitting here have seen character changes. If you are a brand new Christian and you look at those who have been in the Christian faith longer than you, you will find that all of them have realized changes in their life entirely by the working of God. So this is what it means, all right? So being crucified with Christ simply means that you enter into the reality that your fleshly ways are going to be dealt with, all right? I don't want you to think that you're going to be physically put on a piece of wood and nails driven into your body. That's not what it means. What it means is that you are crucified with Christ, all right? He went through the crucifixion, but you enter into that crucifixion, and you enter into that crucifixion in the understanding that your fleshly ways will be worked out of your being by God. All right? Your fleshly ways will be worked out of your being. Let's look at Romans 6 again. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. What is he saying? You will die to yourself and you will rise up to being a new person. Hello, how do you die to yourself? Right? When you decide to deal with your pride, you will find that as your pride decreases, you die to yourself. That's one of the ways. What if you are a very lustful person, right? As God deals with your nature of lust and brings forth in you the love of God, you find that that lustful nature dies. What if you have a bad habit? You have a drinking habit, you have a smoking habit, right? As God works into your heart, the reality of leaving that smoking habit, leaving that drinking habit, as he brings inside of you the conviction that you don't want to smoke and you don't want to drink anymore, you will find that he will release you from that. Right? So what was built in the flesh through bad habits is removed from you as your heart is circumcised by the Holy Spirit with the circumcision of Jesus Christ. Amen? There's more to this than that. For instance, Jesus Christ was circumcised on the eighth day. The eighth day in the Jewish scriptures represents a new beginning. On the eighth day when he was circumcised, the name of Jesus was given. Right? And when you are circumcised, something of the name of Jesus manifests inside of you. Right? And you have a new beginning. Right? That's what is happening. Right? And all of us are experiencing this on a continuing basis. Are you listening to that? Right? And all this is part of your baptism being fulfilled inside of you. Right? Amen? Right? So you're realizing your salvation. So baptism is you committing to God that you are going to realize your salvation. Amen? Are you listening? Why do you need to realize your salvation? If you don't realize your salvation, you cannot be the blessing God wants you to be. You cannot be, right? The yielded vessel that God wants you to be. Amen? So baptism talks about you dying to yourself. So as you die to yourself, you rise up to be a new person. So you need to understand that. Verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. That's what it means, all right? You are immersed into him and you know that when you are immersed into him, you will live with him. Amen? All right. Verse 10. Right? Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. And that's what it's all about, guys. Right? That you will break through the shackles of death, that you will rise to new life. So this baptism will continue even after you go into heaven, by the way. Right? Amen? You break through the shackles of death and you realize the newness of life. And the life that you have in God has got no limits. It will keep on growing in your life forever and ever. Amen? Verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Amen? So the life that God wants you to realize through your baptism is the life that is lived to God.
Right? Verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead. That's where you start. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's how you must look at your baptism. Right? I accept the fact that God is going to deal with my fleshly ways. I accept the fact that my old self is going to die and my new self is going to come forth in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. And that is going to happen even as I am immersed in Him. All right? Even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. All right? How are you not going to let sin reign in your body, even as you receive the testimony of Jesus? That's the only way you're going to get out of sin. Right? You have to receive in the testimony of Jesus, the spirit and life of Jesus, the faith and love of Jesus, the character and nature of Jesus, the thinking of Jesus. Right? The mindset of Jesus Christ. And then you will find that you don't want to sin. And when you don't want to sin, the sin is finished forever. Are you with me? So if you look at the changes God has done in your life, you will find that that's what He is doing. Step by step, the Holy Spirit works in your life. Each one of us, He is working in our lives. And what is He doing with us? He is dealing with our character and our nature. How is our character and our nature changing? As He brings more and more of Jesus alive to your heart, your character and your nature change. Amen? Praise the Lord. Can you catch that? So, you need to be baptized. And you need to be baptized in the right understanding of what that baptism means. And you need to understand that you're going to live your baptism every day. Hello. You're going to live your baptism every day. That you're always going to immerse yourself in Christ Jesus, knowing that in that immersion, there is a resurrection. Amen. So when you meet a weakness in your character, weakness in your life, weakness in your nature, deal with it. Deal with it by taking it to the Lord. How are you baptized? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if you have a flaw in your character, who do you take it to? You take it to God the Father by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Correct? Are you with me? Right? And say, Father, I have this problem. And I know this problem has to go. I know this part of my nature has to change. I can't change it. But I know in Christ Jesus, as I choose to receive Jesus, Lord, deal with this part of my nature. Amen? Hello? So if you are strutting around like a peacock, so full of your anointings, you need to understand you must die and Jesus must live. Amen? That is not to say that God is saying you will disappear and you will not have a character and nature of your own. What He means is that you will have a new character and a new nature in the image and fullness of Jesus Christ. You will be a unique reflection of the beauty of Jesus Christ. And that reflection will be entirely in your own free will. It will be something you will enjoy from the depths of your heart. It will not be imposed on you by law. It will be realized in a relationship of grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. Praise the Lord. So should you get baptized? Yes, you should. Right? Why? All you have to do is trust in the Lord. Right? So when you get baptized, what are you taking part of? You're taking part of a reality of the grace of God. You see, the grace of God is not some nebulous reality. You have to understand that the grace of God is very specific, very distinct. And He wants to develop that grace in your life. Amen? And baptism is the means by which you acknowledge that grace, the grace of God is for me. It is for my life forever. Amen? Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless You and thank You for the wonder of baptism, Father. The awesome prophetic reality of being immersed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit into Christ Jesus, the Messiah, into His death, receiving and realizing His faith and His love, taking hold of resurrection power and rising to be a brand new creation, Father. A brand new creation created in Christ Jesus. A brand new creation that is Your workmanship. A brand new creation that will have no desire to sin, Father. a brand new creation that is perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And all this will be your righteousness, Father. All this will be manifested in the merits of the Lamb. All this will be unveiled in us ultimately as the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. So Father God, bless us, O God. And let the Church of Jesus Christ realize its baptism, Father, so that we will walk into the newness of life that you have given each and every one of us as a covenant right, Lord. That we will be a people who will hear your voice, obey your voice, and we will obey, we will truly keep your covenant, because your covenant will be written into the tablets of our heart. It will be part and parcel of our lifestyle. In this reality of being a covenant people, we will be a true priesthood unto you. Our bodies will be the temples of the living God, temples of the Holy Spirit. And in the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, in the realization of being a priesthood unto you, we will become one nation, one body, the body of Christ. Each one of us manifesting a unique measure of the fullness of Christ Jesus that we have received and realized in accordance with our own free will. And as we unveil, O God, in this great and glorious reality, we are realizing our baptism. We are realizing our salvation. We thank you, Father, that this is your purpose with each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Baptism is also the precursor to our being entering into this Passover. So shall we celebrate communion? Luke chapter 22. And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table, verse 14, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Now the rising from the dead is the reality of a Passover realized. You come forth as a new creation in Christ Jesus. You come forth as someone who has realized the realities of the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the voice of God is meant to unveil in you the kingdom of God. And as you rise into this kingdom of God, it is a Passover. And in the Passover, you are celebrating what you have committed to in your baptism. Amen. Praise the Lord. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. So you must understand that baptism is a fulfillment you realize as a growing Passover. Psalm 91 verse 1 says that you are tabernacled in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. That secret place is the realization of your baptism. It is the Passover that has been fulfilled in your life. It unveils you in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. Do you realize how powerful it will be for you to be overshadowed by the Almighty God? Think about it. So baptism is no mere religious routine. Baptism is very crucial because it involves your commitment to God's plan for your life. It is a commitment to realizing your Passover in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you will unveil in the mount of the Lord as a chosen anointed instrument. So Jesus says, remember me. All right? You can only remember the Lord Jesus Christ by becoming the instrument that God wants you to be in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when you become the instrument that God wants you to be in Jesus' name, that is a realization of a circumcised reality. Right? Eighth day, Jesus was circumcised. The name of Jesus was given. In your life, as you are circumcised, in a continual process that is a Passover in your life, you begin to realize how to function in Jesus' name. Amen? And that keeps on growing forever and ever and ever. Praise the Lord. And so Jesus, in our celebration of Passover, says, remember me. Amen? So you remember him through circumcised hearts. Circumcised hearts that are functioning in the name of Jesus. And when you function in the name of Jesus, that is your baptism realized. So you see, it's all integrated, right? It is all integrated. It is not just segmented theology. it ultimately becomes real life inside of you, a brand new life. Amen? Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you that you have given us this Passover as a realization of the baptism into which we have entered into. In this baptism, we put our trust in you, Father, knowing, Lord, that in Christ Jesus, you would bring forth into each one of our lives what we would in ourselves be unable to do. We will become people who realize your righteousness given to us in the faith and love of Jesus. We will become new creations in Christ Jesus. We will become a blessed people. We will unfold, O God, as the people you have called forth from out of darkness into your marvelous light. And we will be a blessing to many as we receive and realize the realities that you mean for us to take hold of through this baptism, Lord. So we thank you that we are baptized in water, the voice of your word. And we thank you that in this Passover we celebrate the realization of that voice in a remembrance of Jesus Christ, in a remembrance of the witness of Jesus Christ. Those many waters of his voice have become a tangible reality within us, a lifestyle that we live. And that lifestyle that we live is the remembrance of him that you have given us, Father. So sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by the Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, unveiling the prophetic dimensions of our baptism, so that we will be as the body of Christ, a people, O God, that you will continue to unfold your blessings into. That as your blessings become realized in each one of us, the name of Jesus will grow in us, Father. So we thank you that we have the privilege of partaking of this communion, to realize, O God, your every blessing for each and every one of us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for the living bread that came down out of heaven. Of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That realization, Father, in the substance of the Master's fullness, unveils us as a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. We thank you that in Christ Jesus we unveil as a new creation, Father. And that new creation being unveiled is the fulfillment of our baptism, Father. We thank you that this fulfillment of our baptism is going to be made manifest in the substance of the Master's fullness, the bread of life. And so, Father, with all of our heart we partake, Lord, of all that you have given us in Jesus' name. Amen. The cup that was poured out for us, Lord, was poured out for us in his death. And we realize that in his death he gave us a living witness in blood, water and spirit. And as we partake of this cup, we are partaking of that witness that is given to us in his faith and his love. We thank you that he gave us something, Father, in his faith and his love. He opened us to your righteousness. He opened us to the voice of your word. He opened us, O God, to realizing the truth through his spirit and his life. He opened us to the reality of realizing, O God, resurrection power. And as this humongous mystery, Father, is manifested in each one of us, we thank you that we will be made a functional people in this witness of blood, water, and spirit, able to do all things by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus forever and ever. Amen.